920 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Closing arguments are still going in Hunter Biden's gun trial in Delaware, where prosecutors are trying to prove the president's son lied about his drug use when buying a gun. Legal analyst Jessica Levinson.
The prosecution is hoping that, yes, this is a very difficult struggle, but people know whether or not they are addicts at the time that they make a purchase.
It's unclear whether the jury will start deliberating today. Probation officials are virtually questioning former President Trump today ahead of his sentencing next month. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
Donald Trump will be asked some questions about his conviction. That's why his attorney, Todd Blanche, has asked to be present.
Parents of the four hostages rescued this weekend from Gaza say they're grateful, but want Israel to make a deal with Hamas to free remaining hostages. Orit Meyer got her son back.
I'm one of the lucky ones.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. No arrests yet for a mass shooting in Madison that injured a dozen young people at a party early Sunday morning. Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway says too many people have an easy time getting too many guns.
Guns are not a solution to conflict, and we must stop normalizing their use and their accessibility.
It was one of three shootings in Madison this weekend. One person died. Inmates at the Waupun State Prison tell a Milwaukee TV station they're served cold meals and don't get proper medical care. Inmates held a sit-in last week after former warden Randall Happ and eight former prison staffers were charged with felonies. The Dodge County Sheriff accuses them of failing to meet the basic needs of prisoners who died on their watch. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. June is National Safety Month. Healthy People Wood County wants to remind everyone to focus on roadway safety. Stay alert and minimize distractions while on the road. Follow speed limits and traffic laws at all times. Always use crosswalks and designated paths as a pedestrian or cyclist. Avoid driving under the influence of alcohol or drugs. Use seatbelts and appropriate child safety seats in vehicles. We can all contribute to creating a safer environment for everyone by prioritizing roadway safety. Healthy People Wood County hopes you make safe choices every time you hit the road. United We Can is next week. You can help strike out hunger in Southwood and Adams counties with our United Way. The food sculpture contest, United We Can, is Tuesday, June 18th at Witter Field. You can bring a food or monetary donation and vote for your favorite food sculpture. The Rafters take on the Battle Creek Battlejacks at 6:35. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Baseball tonight in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers host the Toronto Blue Jays. Milwaukee with a 6.5 game lead in their division, despite losing 10-2 yesterday in Detroit. The Blue Jays a game under 500 so far this season. A recap of the game later tonight. More problems for the Brewers pitchers. Robert Gasser seeking a third opinion for his elbow. Saturday, the Brewers beat the Tigers, but trainers had to check on Freddy Peralta as he struggled with his fastball.
For me, it was a bad day in general. You know, but everything's good. It's more important for me. The team won the game. But physically, I'm good. I'm fine.
Racing record crowds at Road America as Will Power won the IndyCar Grand Prix. In golf, Ernie Els won the AmFam Championship in Madison.
I want to thank everybody for coming out this week. These greens are unbelievable. You know, it is definitely the best greens we play on tour.
Els told reporters next year the AmFam will be a team event, but tournament officials say no decision has been made. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Plenty of sunshine in the sky today as a high-pressure system sits overhead, providing calm winds and comfortable temperatures in the low 70s. We'll stay clear again tonight and fall quite crisp. Then we get a little wet tomorrow with some showers and storms. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Randy and James here with you. We're ready to have some fun over the next hour, taking your calls at 715-424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation. We'll have some fun doing that. We'll talk some Rafters. We're going to talk plenty of other things, too. We're going to cover some sports that we don't always get a chance to cover, Randy. We will talk Caitlin Clark because we are a sports show and we have to. we've got also some great local coverage from Randy. We'll get into a Raptors schedule as well with you. A lot of fun to have, and we got the next hour to do it. Let's go ahead and jump right in. I want to actually start where we maybe, you know, a lot of sports shows starting with Caitlin Clark today and everything. I actually want to start in a different direction, Randy, because I don't know if we'll ever get a chance to do this again. Cricket. I want to talk a little cricket for at least a minute, okay? I got the clock going. All right, we get a minute to talk cricket. USA, that's all I got to say. USA beating Pakistan. That never happens. It is a monumental thing in 99% of the world except here, and it's pretty cool. I also saw an interesting tweet about this. Somebody tweeted that this is what happens when all of our greatest golfers are going into cricket. That's such a shame to see that the cricket game has gotten that big that all the greatest golfers and tennis players are all going into cricket now. It was really cool to see this. The USA won the Super Over by 5 runs. We all know what that means. I'm not even sure what I just said, but it's kind of cool. And I have to be honest with everybody. I read this story, thought it was really cool, especially considering a lot of these guys do this part-time. They took this, they used their vacation time to go do this. That's how much it meant to them, not only the sport, but playing for their country. And it brought me back to the Olympics, which will get us to Caitlin Clark. We'll get there. See, there's a bridge. We're getting there. But it did make me feel like, okay, well, my second thought, outside of being happy for them and the people that are fan of the sport, my very second thought was USA, USA. This is an opportunity to practice my chant and get ready for the summer games, which I cannot wait for.
And I can't believe that, well, just this last week, one of the top 10 sports plays of the week was a catch in cricket.
Yes, that was awesome.
I mean, how often do you see that, right?
I've spent the majority of my life trying to figure out how that game is played, what it is, because I genuinely would like to know, just out of curiosity. I have no real interest in diving into the sport too much, but I am a little curious about it.
I think people got together and said, let's put together baseball, golf, hockey, and whatever other sport we like.
I think some people in other countries got together and were like, let's confuse Americans. They'll never understand this one. They already took other sports from us.
They'll just be chirping.
I want to get to our audience first and foremost. Good afternoon. What's on your mind?
What happened to water polo?
Yes, oh, yeah. Water polo. Shoot. Yes, another one. Yeah, one. That was the other one. Water polo. Yeah. Good luck figuring that out. Good luck.
You know, the funny thing is, though, with the cricket thing, you know, the USA, you know, winning over the weekend. What's it going to do? Now, think back when USA won curling in the Olympics, guys from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. You know, these club guys that, you know, and also they go over and win. And, you know, so now is this going to really make cricket a popular sport and kind of like what curling ended up being like a couple years ago?
Yeah.
That is a really great question.
It's a great one.
My quick response is no.
Yeah. I mean, but I would like to see it. I honestly can't think of any sport. I don't care what we're talking about. I'd like to see any sport challenge the 4 or 5 major sports. I think that'd be a pretty cool thing to see. We're sort of seeing it a little bit with women's athletics, but it's not really because we're still seeing basketball. We're still seeing, you know, that. It's just played differently a little bit. But I'd like to see. I was generally one of those naive kids that thought that soccer was going to be that thing that was going to challenge hockey or basketball. When we were growing up, nobody was beating baseball, and football was just coming up. You had the rise of basketball a little bit with the Bulls and everything, but for the most part, you know, football and basketball were pretty neck and neck, and hockey has always been in that 4th spot. I kind of thought, well, maybe soccer will be that thing that'll happen, and it just didn't happen. And we'll see, you know, with us hosting the World Cup and some of those things, if it does. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know if anything ever will. The X Games thing kind of got a little close there for a little bit, and that didn't really do it. Yep. Hey, why not water polo? Why not cricket? Why not curling? Why not? I'd love to see Americans getting crazy about curling. That'd be awesome. That'd be great. Pro curling leagues, you know, around all the whole country and everything. People fighting over, oh, come on. What are they doing out there? That's not dusting. That's not. You know, right. I like the idea of it. What's on your mind today, man?
Well, obviously the Caitlin Clark thing's kind of interesting and how everything's kind of gone down the last couple of weeks with her, but I kind of want to steer my, you know, kind of get your guys' thoughts. And, I mean, I know you kind of went through this with the White Sox a little bit, especially the year that they end up winning the World Series. But with what everything that's going on with the Brewers, I mean, I think, what was it, it's probably been 14 people are on the injured list, where majority of them are the pitchers. Mm-hmm. You know, now there's a little bit of concern with Freddy Peralta because he got pulled from the game on Saturday with only, what, going four innings or three and a half innings or whatever it was. And can the Brewers survive this or sustain this for the rest of the year? They're up 6.5 on the Cubs and everybody there. But can this keep going?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think
Great question.
What was interesting, first of all, with Freddy Peralta, I don't know if you saw the game or not, but he caught this pop-up to the end of the inning, and it was probably the third inning, and he started walking back towards the mound. And Rhys Hoskins looks at him like, goes, that's three outs. What you doing? Mm-hmm. You know, he just didn't look right mentally that day at all. Right. So I don't know what's going on with that. And then I think I just read that they have their 11th different starting pitcher already this year, mm-hmm. and they're bringing up this great prospect that they've got, and it's going to probably start tomorrow. So, boy, you talk about trying to sustain something. You got now, what, 12 different starting pitchers? That's crazy.
You know, I'm going to say something that I think is going to get feel like a hot take, but it's not meant that way. I'm saying it just thinking of the two individuals and the way they their style and how they approach these kind of things. If it was last season and it was a council-run team, I don't know that they can keep this going. With Pat, with Murph? Yeah. I do. I do think they can. I think you put some bodies out there and they'll get it done.
Oh, it's interesting. Like,
with his attitude and with his momentum going, and this is where you actually do see what a manager can do, not just with the X's and O's or with a placement of a pitcher at the right time or any of these things, but also how you handle personalities and how you keep the momentum going. This guy's hungry. This guy's been waiting for this. You think injuries are going to stop him from having that drive or that care or whoever is named is on that jersey? I think that that stuff almost, it matters to him because he cares about these players. He's proven that. He knows these guys' first names. He knows their families. He's been with them for a while, a lot of these guys. I think that they can. I would put money on it. I'm not going to, but because I don't bet on anything. But I would in a Pat Murphy run team over a Craig Counsell team. And I feel really weird saying that because I think very highly of Craig Counsell as a manager. I just think his attitude and his approach to the game and how long he had been there as well playing into things and the idea of a young head coaching experience and head managing positions and everything.
I think what's also interesting is, if I remember correctly, when the Brewers entered that Phillies series, they had a 7-game lead, and then they got swept by the Phillies. They won 2 out of 3 against Detroit. So they've lost, what, 4 of their last 6? And yet they've only lost a half game. I think they were 7 up when that started. Now they're 6.5 up on mm-hmm. those three teams. So that also helps.
Yeah.
Well, there's, you know, you get some of those top experts and stuff that talk about that, and they say it takes a half game a week to get, you know, basically to try to catch up. So if, you know, things, you know, stay if the Brewers pay 500 ball from here on out, they should win the division. I think they come up with about 92 wins, I think it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, 92 wins, you should win your division.
Yeah.
It should.
Got Colin Ray on the mound tonight. Not a bad season so far for him, and he's figuring some things out. So that could get interesting, especially playing a Toronto team that nobody can really figure out. They can't figure themselves out. They're 32-33 on the season.
Yeah,
and if you'd have told me that with all that talent on that team, they just can't seem to, you know, get some things done. It's interesting. I appreciate you bringing up the White Sox. It was nice to remember, you know, that they used to have a team. I don't know if a lot of people know this. They used to have two baseball teams in Chicago. They had one that played on the south side. They were called the Chicago White Sox. They were a wonderful franchise. I grew up loving them. They were really good. They're a great team.
They're only 26 at back. It's early. It's not even the 4th of July.
I'm not listening to you.
Yeah, but the year that they won the World Series,
years
ago?
Yeah.
Was it long? That long? But they were going through a lot of rash of injuries that year, and they got healthy there toward the end of the year.
2005.
I have a feeling. You know, I hope that they can keep it going and survive all these injuries, because they're saying maybe the end of July, first part of August, you might get Garrett Mitchell back. Maybe get Devin Williams back around that same time, because he's starting to throw a little bit more. But boy, some of these guys that are going out there every day out of the bullpen. And, I mean, granted, they're only throwing maybe an inning or two, but
well, I really like that new kid, that Paredes, too.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of movement on the ball. He hits the strike zone a lot. So sometimes you get kids, you know, that now they got an opportunity and they get a chance to showcase a little bit. And
I got to say, too, the Brewers are not alone in this. Almost every major league team is being affected by injuries. So you've got that. I hate to say it this way, but you also have that going for you, too, that nobody is going to be in perfect health by the end of this month, let alone by, you know, August and when we're really getting into major baseball here. I think that the Brewers got a great opportunity here. It to me, this is one of those ones where you start out the marathon hot. You come out the gate hot. This is a long one. Get yourself a lead. Get yourself in the running here in first and second run. And then, like you were saying, Kev, stay 500. That's all you stay 500 the rest of the way, and you can weather the storm. And then, of course, the playoffs, everything starts over.
The disappointing part, I think, this last week was just with that Philly series where they just couldn't hit or score runs. And that always is worrisome when you play with the top-tier teams. That is that going to continue down the stretch, too?
But they were in every game.
They were.
I mean, they literally could won every game in that series. I mean, they had, but they just couldn't get those key hits at the right time because the pitching staff, they pitched a heck of a series. They sure did. The Phillies only scored, what, 5 runs the whole series? With the Brewers? No, 6 runs, and the Brewers only scored 2?
I mean, it's pretty unusual to get swept if you only give up 6 runs in 3 games, right?
Yeah.
What is the most surprising part so far this early season for you with the Brewers? Is it the where they are in the standings, or is it a player? Is there anything, or is it the injuries? Is it one of the three? Is it something else?
Well, I mean, the surprise, I guess, is just how these guys are taking advantage of the situations. Like you said before, you know, it's like the next man up deal, especially with all the injuries. I really like the idea that the Brewers, and I mean, it's not just the Brewers. I think there's a lot of other teams doing it. They're bringing small ball back.
Yes. Into baseball. Speaking of the 05 White Sox. Yeah.
You know, if you look at the on base percentage, the Brewers are in top 5 or top 10 or something like that in on base percentage. Well, if you get walked, it's a double because they're so fast. You know, so I'm like, that's one thing. Maybe that's the surprising thing or the best thing I like about it is that they are fast. They want to steal bases. They want to, you know, I think Curiel did, you know, I missed the sign or they sent him and it was a close play at home, but he made it. You know, they had to be a perfect throw to get him, but they're on Saturday to take the lead. And I mean, the aggressiveness that looks nice with the Brewers this year. So I think Murph has done a great job as the manager and basically bringing the college game into Major League Baseball. I think if you want to look at it that way.
Well, yes, well said. If I could just add one little add-on to that, the college spirit as well. Like a very collegiate spirit that he's got with those boys and that team and everything.
Yeah, the other part that you talk about is, you know, some of these guys, James, were mentioning that they might not come back until later in, you know, July, August, whatever. Well, right now we're about a third of the way through the season. They played 155, or they played 55 out of 162. So you're thinking to yourself, you still got two-thirds of the season to go. How many more injuries are going to crop up? Because you know not everybody's going to stay healthy the rest of the way either.
Right.
It kind of reminds me of the Super Bowl when the Packers won it in 2010, is actually 2011. Yes. Remember they had all those injuries, and then in the Super Bowl, Driver goes down, and Charles Woodson goes down, and Collins was out for a while, and you're like, you know, we've survived all these injuries all year. And I can still remember saying to somebody in about the third quarter, I said, you know what, we survived a lot of injuries this year, but I don't know if we can overcome this. And yet they still managed to. They got that fumble by Mendenhall, and they ended up winning that game, so who knows?
Look at all the major sports, and look at one of the biggest storylines, and every one of them is when you get to the final game of the season, injuries. Everything is becoming a matter of attrition. Everything is a becoming last man standing kind of thing. Boston is a perfect example of this, that we have no idea how good this team is. We have all the stats, all these different things about the Boston Celtics, who I'm referring to, how good they are. But we genuinely don't really know how good they are because they haven't really been challenged by anybody, because half the good players, when they're facing a team, is out. Jimmy Butler's not there for Miami. Trae Young isn't there for Indiana. Tyler Haliburton isn't there for Indiana. These kind of things.
And now Doncic is banged up with left ankle, right knee. His chest is hurting him.
And it's not to take anything away from Boston and their friend. And they're still, they're just healthier. And even they got hurt by an injury with their main guy, one of their main guys in Porzingis. You see how different it is when he's on the court and not. So right now, it almost seems like, hey, how do we do this to keep them healthy? This is in hockey. They figured something out where if they could get a guy to agree to, hey, just stay on the IR a little bit longer, okay? Tampa Bay did this for years and helped them win themselves a couple cups doing this, where, hey, wait a minute, I thought he was out for the whole season, and all of a sudden he pops up and it didn't end up hurting their salary cap and everything. So they're able to have like four great lines where each line had a 30-40 score goal scorer. I can talk. I don't talk for a living, thankfully, but it's a matter of attrition. That's what every championship's going to come down to now.
If the Brewers are still 6.5 or even 7 coming out of June, because, I mean, they don't have – I mean, they got a big cup – coming up here in a couple weeks, they got a pretty long road trip. I think it's like 12 games or whatever, and it's mostly on the West Coast, mm-hmm. playing the West. If they can come out of June – going into that cup, especially at the end of the season, going at the end of the month with the Cubs, and they're still 6.5-7 up on whoever's in second place, I think the Brewers should win the division coming out of June. Because usually June is their worst month. You know, if you want to look back in the past, this is kind of where the Brewers, make or break their season sometimes right here in June.
Here's hoping they keep it going, Yeah.
Yeah, and... I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen here. So,
always appreciate the call, talking to you, man. Thanks so much for the call.
All right, guys. Have a great week. We'll talk later.
You too. Have a great one. 424-2600 is the phone number. If you're listening on the Civic Media app, feel free to just one touch away from calling up and joining the conversation. Whatever you want to talk about, we will talk about, if it's sports related, that is. If you want to talk knitting or something like that, I don't know much about that. We could talk about it, but I really wouldn't be able to help you.
As much as cricket.
Yeah, exactly. Well said. We got a break coming up in a little bit. Before we do, I did want to touch on the Caitlin Clark situation. I don't have a lot on this, Randy. Whatever you want to add, please feel free. And you guys call up and join the conversation. And mainly want to focus on Caitlin Clark, quote-unquote, being snubbed from the Olympic team. I have – now, if you want to take a hot take, you want to splice something or whatever, this would be it. I'm happy for her. I'm happy that she's got this break. There are a lot of people talking about this right now that don't watch the WNBA, that don't watch women's college basketball, or all they do is watch the highlights on SportsCenter. That's it, and they feel like they know what they're talking about. I watch quite a bit of this, and even I don't know what I'm talking about. And I watch a lot of women's athletics. I have for a long time. My Aunt Karen played. She loved it. She got me in love with – actually, my Aunt Karen's part of the reason I love basketball as much as I do is because she loved ball so much. And so I've watched women athletics for a very long time. And to those that are surprised that Caitlin Clark is not on this team, you should be looking at – I'm not going to tell you how to think, but I would like you to hopefully get around to the thought of, hey, there are 12 better players than her in the world, and that's why. And our team is so darn good that she can't get on that team. If you've watched any WNBA games of hers, she's adjusting. She's trying to figure this out. She has not figured out the pro game yet.
And it's like you said, she's gone through a long college season, right?
Right. She had like 7 minutes between the end of the Final Four game, the last game of the season, the last possible game that anybody played in women's college basketball. She was in on those last minutes and went from that to putting on a suit to go get drafted to go into playing for the Fever. This young lady has not had 2 minutes to rest.
And then the other thing is the pressure that she's under, right? Because everybody expects her being the number one pick just to come out and perform and be a top person in the world. I don't know what her feelings are, but if I'm her, I'm thinking to myself, probably like, whew, You know, I'm going to get a little bit of a break. I'm not going to be under the microscope. If I wouldn't do well, they'll be going, why'd they put her on that team? You know, it would be all negative press from what I'm, you know, my opinion.
You look at what Christian Laettner went through when on the Dream Team.
Yeah.
And he talks highly of those guys and stuff and everything, but he didn't play much. He didn't wasn't able to do much. And he wasn't he talks about, I wasn't the player ready for it yet. That was not, that wasn't the right time for me. The idea, we see what happens when we let college players, you know, when we don't have any pros and we just have college players over there playing and everything. This is the Olympics, for one, and this is not a shot at either side here. I am a obvious USA fan, and the USA basketball is one of my favorite things in the world. And I'm a huge Caitlin Clark fan. Neither need each other. Caitlin don't need it, and the Olympics don't need it. Get out of here with ratings. What are you talking about? It's the Olympics. Do you think it's just being watched here in America? Are you that like narrow-minded that you think that our ratings are the only ones that matter to our advertisers or to anything, to networks, to NBC, any of this stuff? Like, it's the Olympics, man. The whole world is watching. They don't, whether Caitlin Clark is there or not, they're gonna be watching, and they're gonna be watching a lot. And part of the reason, another thing too, everybody, it's such a quick hot take to be able to say Caitlin Clark belongs on this team and she was snubbed. Who are you taking off? Look, do you even know who's on the team? Do you even know the 12 players that are on there? Miss me with all of this. Like, it's ridiculous. It's some of the lamest low-hanging fruit I've heard in sports talk in a long time, if ever.
I like your reference to, you know, Christian Laettner going from Duke to the Dream Team. You just look at that roster for the Dream Team. There were some of those guys on that team that they didn't, you know, play a whole lot of minutes, but they were all stars. You know, they were just fabulous players.
I
happened to see some of the first game the other night, in that when they played their first game, they beat Mexico, you know, by like 60 points or 70 or 80 points. It was crazy. And, you know, that first five, they just were up and down the court. And the next five were just up and down the court. Mm-hmm. And finally, Laettner got in with the next group,
A couple, yeah. I love watching those games.
Those are fun.
Good afternoon. You're on the air. What's on your mind? No, they hung up. Feel free to call back. 424-2600. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to have you join the conversation, everybody. And certainly love to hear for any takes that you have on any of these things we've already talked about or anything coming up. As long as we have a moment, and we're going to go to our first break and, of course, get to Randy's local stats in a moment. Actually, are you calling back or not? See, we have somebody who's calling in, but they keep calling in. And as soon as I'm going to take it, they hang up. So I this is probably payback for when I was a kid doing this to people. So that's all that is. That's fine. That's karma. That's okay. I get it. I did want to get our stat of the show in. We like to have a stat of the show kind of fun thing. And I'm throwing a little bit of us in a different direction here. But I heard some stats the other day that I did not hear before. And I had to share them with everybody. I know it is not football season. But Derrick Henry. Has anybody ever looked at Derrick Henry in high school? I was a big fan of his in college, and when he was getting drafted, it was one of these few names that I got right. Me and my buddies were watching the draft, and like, oh, that guy's had too many carries. He's had too many carries at Alabama. Don't see him, he'll probably have a couple-year career or something like that, but be a bruiser, be a good double backup or something like that, even where he was drafted. I'm like, no, he's going to be fine. I had no idea he'd be a 2,000-yard back and have the long career he's had and everything, and Hall of Fame career, I think. It's really been a nice season. But all of this being said, you might have been able to put Derrick Henry in the Hall of Fame just from high school. In the state of Florida, keep in mind, everybody, where next to Texas, the two biggest recruited areas in the country, Florida, Texas, when it comes to college football, literally our whole lifetimes, and it's still to this day. So Derrick Henry in the state of Florida set the Florida high school record with a 510-yard performance against Jacksonville Jackson, a record he held until 2021. He averaged 9.2 yards per carry and 327 yards per game as a senior. He finished the season with a state record, I can't even say this seriously, with a state record of 4,261 yards and 55 touchdowns.
Oh my goodness.
His high school stats, watch him play in high school. Man Among Boys was written for this man. it looks a little bit like just Derrick Henry a couple years ago almost. Like that's how big he looks compared to these other players. And he's not doing this in Maryland. He's not doing this, not shot at Maryland there, but like in Illinois or any team. Like he's doing it in Florida, for God's sake. It's incredible. incredible. 4,226 yards and 55 touchdowns. He had like over 400, 500 carries or something in high school. And they were saying in high school, oh, we think he's had too many carries. We don't know. Nick Saban kind of questioning it and everything. You're like, no, I believe in this guy. Let's go ahead and get him on our team.
Well, it reminds me, I was just reading last week about how Ron Dayne was asked to risk the all-time leading rusher because there's actually somebody ahead of him in college, but that, for, and I don't know why this is, but for that person, they counted the bowl games, but they didn't for Ron Dayne.
Why
is that? Why does that make any sense? Yeah. So what would be cool, because I'm sure they've got that stat, because I got every stat on online, but to list the all-time leaders in high school for yardage and carry. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Oh, is that very interesting.
Yeah.
Oh,
to see where he'd rank in that.
Oh, I gotta try to find that out. Oh, I gotta look for that. That is great.
That'd be fun.
We are gonna come back. We'll talk some Rafters. We'll also talk other local sports as Randy's got some information for us. All coming up for you here on Playmakers, which is proudly brought to you by our good friends over at Quality Plus Printing. Getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Be sure to join us Wednesdays on the morning show around 8:45-ish. We get our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday from our good friend Phil Hartley from all over there, Quality Plus Printing. Buy local, support local, support the people that support us and our friends over at Quality Plus Printing. Getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Knock the dirt off your cleats and step up to the plate with Wham! Incorporated by Quality Plus Printing. Need custom apparel for your team? Or do you want to celebrate a victory with a one-of-a-kind shirt? Make the call to the bullpen with Wham! Incorporated. And don't forget to send in a nomination for Who's Your Hero for someone who's impacted you in a positive way. No sports talent required. Find them on Facebook or visit them at 3515 8th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids. It's a guaranteed home run. The morning show on WFHR. It's delicious.
Peanut butter and jelly should be squidgy.
Oh, I know a lot of people. Yeah.
On good squidgy white bread.
Yeah.
It's the way it's got to be.
My sister felt the same way. It's got to be the middle, especially for her, had to be just a mush.
You guys, as fascinating as this conversation is, one very big thing you just missed there. Melissa just said the word squidgy on the air.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, she did.
I mean, what the what?
Weekdays from 8 to 10 on WFHR.
Weather is sponsored by Econ Electric LLC, your neighborhood Generac generator dealership. Don't let bad weather affect your power. Visit Econ Electric in Wisconsin Rapids.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and a low in the mid-40s for tonight. Mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms for tomorrow and a high in the low 70s. Mid-80s Wednesday, more storms possible, especially in the afternoon and evening when some of the storms could be strong. It's 71 right now.
Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. We're here to take your phone calls, 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. Right now, we got some local coverage from our great local reporter, Randy. Randy Paul, what do you got there?
Well, this past Saturday, 5 champions were crowned down in Madison, but let's take a look back to Friday in Division 5, where the Assumption Royals faced the Pacelli Cardinals in a game heard on our sister station, FM 105.5 WIRI, and a rematch of a game won by the Royals 3-1 back on April 20th. This time, however, the Cardinals prevailed 10-0 and then went on to defeat Oakfield 4-3 for their second straight state championship, both of them coming over the Oaks. Elsewhere on Saturday in Division 4, Fall Creek makes its first ever state appearance and wins the title by blanking Cuba City 7-0. The Cubans reached the finals by beating Auburndale 9-4 in a state semifinal on Thursday night. In Division 3, Prescott also wins its first championship, defeating Laconia 3-1. From Division 2, the theme continues as Waupun earns its first title as they upset top-seeded Mosinee 7-3. And in Division 5, one more time, first-time champion Kenosha Bradford as they maul Milton 9-3. One last note, James. On Thursday, Milton upset number 1 Kaukauna, snapped their winning streak at, get this, 108 consecutive wins.
Whoa.
It was tied for the second longest streak ever. The longest ever was by Vanderbilt Catholic at 112. The last loss for Kaukauna, May 18th of 2021, 3-2 to Nina.
Whoa. So that's incredible.
Quite an upset.
That's quite a run.
Yeah.
And quite an upset. For, you know, something to keep your head up for both teams, really.
And Kaukauna was one out away from winning it.
God's crazy. Wow.
Three runs after that.
Yeah. Oh, God. That had been fun to watch.
And that had her fear of cooking on a player, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Last week, the boys' baseball sectionals were held. A couple of local teams hoping to earn a state berth. Division I, Stevens Point, defeated Eau Claire North 6-0, but fell short of a trip to state, losing 3-1 to Hudson. In Division II, top-ranked Mosinee squeaked past Green Bay Notre Dame 2-1, then punched their ticket to state with a 2-0 shutout over Appleton Xavier. They'll face fourth-seeded La Crosse Logan on Wednesday. Now, the first game is at 9, so they're playing the second game that day, so it's probably going to be around 11:30 or noon, somewhere around there. Also in Division II, it took 8 innings for Medford to outlast Merrill 5-3, but the Raiders couldn't get past La Crosse Logan, falling by the score of 7-5. D3 saw Auburndale lose a heartbreaker to 5th-ranked Bondiwell 2-1 on a 2-run single by the Bears in the bottom of the 6th inning. Division IV, Pittsville was upset by number 5 seed Oliva Strum 4-0 in the semifinals, and then Edgar also lost in the semis 6-2 to Rib Lake. Stevens Point Pacelli, we just talked about the girls winning the state championship in softball. Well, their boys defeated Gibraltar 7-1, and, ready for this, Niagara Falls to the Cardinals. Like that, Niagara Falls.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. I like that. Nicely done.
15 to zip. So Pacelli will be at the Fox City Stadium in Appleton for a state semi on Tuesday. That's tomorrow. Again, same thing. Game one's at 9. They play right after that. So, again, probably around noon. And only two area teams were still alive in girls' soccer action. In Division IV, a sectional semifinal was held on Thursday as Adams Friendship fell to host River Valley 4-2. While in Division I, DC Everest was victorious over Hudson 6-5, also on Thursday before losing to Kimberly right here in Wisconsin Rapids on Saturday 4-0. So it's just kind of wrapping up now with the baseball season this week over in Appleton. And that runs through Thursday, and then that'll be the end of high school sports until the fall. And we were just talking on Friday when we were down at Madison that I think it was 10 weeks from the day before when the first high school football game is. When
10 weeks, man.
Rapids opens up, I believe it's against River Falls on a Thursday.
Got a little time to catch your breath. And then, yes, we jump right into the back into everything. Which is, you know, I think that it's fun for all of us.
It's nice I'm to looking catch forward your breath, to it. But we miss it too.
Yeah, I'm already, you know, getting to that point. And a great, great run by everybody. Appreciate people like yourself, Randy, all across the state covering these games, the work that you guys put into this, all of our engineers and tech people that are running boards and helping things happen, and certainly all the people that are actually really like integral parts of these things, just like you guys are. We need those as much as we need good umpires and good referees and everything, parents getting kids to practices, these athletes and these people taking time out of their lives when they're my God, they're high schoolers.
Right.
For the love of God, they've got other things that they might want to do, but they love this, and so they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's pretty cool. And a great run, great season. Looking forward to the next, but a lot of highlights over this high school athletic season already. As I always kind of, I don't know how people look at this, but the end of the school year, kind of look at that as the end of the year, and as start of football season, track and field, some of that stuff is a little bit more of, getting back in the swing of things.
Yeah, so it'll be upon us before we know it, that's for sure.
I want to talk Lakers in a second, Randy, but first, you had a great question, and I had to go ahead and hunt this one down.
Super.
The all-time leaders in high school rushing.
Okay.
First off, I think it's pretty cool that we could even find that. There is the National Federation of State High School Associations, NFHS.org, NFHS.org. If you're curious and want to find and look at these things yourself, I know that I will be probably up at 2 in the morning tonight looking at who the all-time carries leader is in high school athletics and everything. But I will go ahead and start with, let's see here. I want to give you their top five. All right. So at number five, Jonathan Gray out of Texas, Aledo, Texas, to be specific, Aledo High School. He played from 2008 to 2011. Over 100,889 yards. Well, not bad. That was a pretty good season. Pretty good. There's a minimum to this of 7,000 yards.
Okay.
So you have to have at least 7,000 yards to get in the running.
Wow.
Kevin Parker Jr. out of Mount Ulla West Roman played in 2006 to 2009. North Carolina is where he was playing. 1,889 yards. So those are pretty good. Michael Hart out of New York. Played for Nadaro in 2003. So, seen a lot of these recent, relatively recent. Michael Hart had 11,045 yards.
Okay.
Pretty good. In the number two spot, Ken Hall out of Texas, Sugarland, Texas, from 1950 to 1953, the number two leader rusher all the time. 11,232 yards.
Wow.
Pretty cool to see a guy from the 50s still up there at everything, especially in a sport that's advanced so much and all that. And the number one spot, I did not know this before our stat of the show, Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry at the number one spot. Played, of course, in Florida for Yulee from 2009 to 2012. 12,144 yards.
Wow.
Just like far and away. Like over 1,000, almost 1,000 yards more than the very next guy. This is incredible.
So he averaged like 3,000 yards a year.
That's incredible, man. Let's go ahead and see what's on your mind. What's incredible to you? Good afternoon. What's on your mind?
Well, good morning, fellas.
Hey, how's it going?
Not too bad. You're doing stats. I got a few for you if you're ready.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know who the all-time yardage leader for passing in the NCAA football is?
Is it the kid from Hawaii? Is it Chang? Is it the...
He was second. Case Keenum is number one.
Wow. No, I didn't know that. Yeah. Wow. Case Keenum, number one. But the kid from Y is number two.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. Chang, yeah. Oh, interesting. Wow. Case Keenum, wow.
I had a good hockey stat. It's really the only one I'm good for today. It's been 31 years since Canada won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, yeah. It's looking like 32,
Was it Montreal then, too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you. Like I say, I'm
it was Montreal.
Hockey.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
I got a fun one. You say you wanted to talk some basketball. Mm. I heard that Al Horford now has more playoff rebounds than Magic Johnson.
Wow! Wow, that's incredible. That's incredible to me, especially
Al
considering
Horford's
where
still around after all these years.
Yeah, I never minded Al Horford. I've always liked him as a player.
Did he go to North Carolina?
Florida. He won two championships in Florida.
Okay, that's right.
Part of that little run that they had there in Florida with Danny Donovan, the guy in Chicago now. Okay. Mm. Great
Billy
stuff,
Donovan.
Man. Billy Donovan. Thank you. Yeah. Great stuff, man.
I got one more football one and a prediction.
Okay.
The two-point conversion, the first two-point conversion by modern standards was scored by none other than Tom Tupa.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Okay.
In 1994, wow. And he led the league in two-point conversions that year with four.
Nice.
I thought for sure you were going to say it was Case Keenum.
No, that would be funny.
It would be. That would be great.
I also have a prediction that both Jake and Logan Paul will fight each other in one way or another in the next 2 years, probably on a WrestleMania card. I'm just going to say I could see the Hardy Boys coming out of retirement.
Oh, that'd be great. That. Yeah, that'd be really good. Yeah, and you're absolutely right about that. The Pauls will face each other. They will devour each other eventually, and I won't watch a second of it. I agree with you.
Unless Mike Tyson is a referee.
Absolutely. Then 100%. If Tyson is involved, I will be watching whatever it is. Yes. Always good talking to you, man. Thanks for the call.
We Pauls have a battle all the time. It's nothing new.
Great calls from the best listeners in radio. Thank you for that. Keep them coming, everybody. 715-424-2600. Did want to touch on some breaking news that happened about 20 minutes before we hit the airwaves. Dan Hurley has rejected the Lakers' offer and will stay at UConn to go for a third title. The Lakers offered him a six-year, $70 million offer. Like, that's just unheard of. If he is horrible and they fire him a half a year in, that's guaranteed, everybody. So just incredible to see him turn that down. I don't know that you're going to be, even if you win a third title, you can make the argument, well, he wins a third, he's going to have his pick of the litter still. Doesn't mean the Lakers job is going to be open. There's only one Laker job. And you could say whatever you want about all the jobs in the NBA and what they mean and blah, blah, blah. There's no job like that one. And the idea that you're going to take the chance and roll the dice that it'd be open again next year is very interesting. Maybe he's just not. Maybe he's more interested in the collegiate game. But for all the people that want to whine and complain about NIL and coaches can't make it work nowadays, and look, Danny Hurley can't wait to leave and everything. No, this was a negotiation tactic. This was all about negotiations. I'm not saying that I can't get in his heart or head and a fool to anybody that tries. But it certainly looks like what we've seen many, many times out of collegiate athletes. athletes like a Calipari or a Patino or anybody like that flirting with the NBA, but then all of a sudden they stay home and they get a bump in an extension and all this.
Don't you wonder what all kind of went through his mind, however, that we don't know? Now, I'm living in Connecticut. I'd have to live in Los Angeles, and maybe that played a part of a role of it. But I got to do all this recruiting in college, but maybe it's getting easier having one too. But still, you know, they got all of that to deal with the NIL now, and guys transferring and stuff. You don't have to deal with, but then you have to deal with superstars in the NBA who have kind of big egos, right? Mm-hmm. And in college, you know, you better listen to the coach or you don't get to the NBA because he doesn't play you.
Right.
Right? Can you imagine what all went back and forth on that?
I heard a couple of notes on this from Wilbon and Kornheiser where they mentioned that his wife had been trying for years to get them closer to New Jersey, and they finally are a little closer to New Jersey, so they don't want to move across the other side of the country. We all know that she's the boss. Like, Danny's something, but that's the boss of the house.
Is he married?
Yeah, exactly. When it comes to him and his coaching style, I also heard some people talk about how that would just not transition with a LeBron James or somebody like that. I could see that part of it, too. I also could see this being a negotiating tactic where both sides win. The Lakers seemed like, up until about 2 weeks ago, like they were ready to put J.J. Redick in this spot. They got some pushback on that. Now that with this noise all happening and everything, Danny Hurley goes back to Connecticut, gets an extension, gets a little bump in pay. And the Lakers, look, we tried. Look, we were trying to get somebody else. We were trying to get somebody with coaching experience. We couldn't do it. Oh, darn it. Look what we offered, all this. I could see both sides benefiting from this, whereas a lot of times you're coming into this saying, wow, nobody wants that Laker gig, you know, which is still, a relevant thought. If you're thinking that, I think that's still a fair thought.
So is it like comparing it to the NFL and say, nobody wants Bill Belichick?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
A little bit like that in a way. Here's the thing, too, with that, that I think that is going to be interesting. So, if you pay a bit of attention to the NFL and you pay attention to coaching, and I think you've probably heard by now, there's a lot of owners that are hesitant to work with him. And he's kind of going into these things having to prove himself and having to show, hey, I could be a team player. Hey, it's not just going to be my way or the highway or whatever and everything. I'm looking for a new experience, too, and some of this stuff. And with all that, all those things going on, the average fan is not paying attention to that. The average fan thinks that Bill Belichick is a free agent, and that's a free agent just sitting out there. And you're telling me I'm listening to this bum who didn't know on 4th and 5 to do this and this, and Bill Belichick all season long is just going to be sitting there. So every team that is on the fence, every team that was supposed to be good that isn't, that just like a hockey. I'm not saying that he himself is literally caring like this, but to the average fan, that's all they're going to be seeing. And we're going to have a storyline of that all season long.
And he can sit back now if he wants and waits for that to happen and say, you know what, that's a team that I don't think I could go far with. But, you know, the Cowboys struggle a little bit early on in the season.
Even if it meant having to put up with a long playoff run out of Dallas and that fan base, and I don't necessarily have anything against it. I'm just like a lot of Midwesterners, and I have I'm done with Dallas. I got to see enough of that. I'm old. I got to see Dallas win. I'm done with that. I would love as somebody who just loves storylines and I run a sports show. I'd like to have something to talk about. Bill Belichick coaching the Dallas Cowboys. Oh, that is easily like give me that. I can pull off storylines from that for weeks.
what teams could you see just off the top of your head? And I know it's hard to think of all the teams, but what teams could you say that might be, you figure, a playoff team, but they struggle early and they could make that move? Or are there any that come to your mind immediately?
Philadelphia right away.
Oh, yeah.
Philadelphia is the first thing I think
of. That's a good one.
That's one where I still think that even with Washington hiring another coach, I think next year, the next couple of years, you have to keep an eye on that with his connections out that way. I will say this. I don't believe he's done as a head coach. I think he will get another opportunity. Now, we didn't see this with Landry. We didn't see it with Shula. We didn't see it with some. You know, some that were fired or some that were let go. Most coaches don't get to be. I think it was Chuck Knoll that got to retire on his own. Most coaches don't get that. They don't get to ride off into the sunset. You're fired for having a 2-10 season. That's what happens. And with that, you don't always get a chance, because one thing that we love to say is, well, he can't figure it out anymore. The game passed him by. We love to say that about these guys. Oh, the game passed him by. Yeah. I'm not ready to say that. I don't think that this guy, if anything, this is one of the more competitive human beings we've ever seen in sports. Think of that. You're telling me that because he hit 72 or because he's having a hard time finding a job, that's going to make him less motivated? I don't think so. I don't think he's done. I think that what you're asking there, that question, is the million-dollar question of, well, who's on the hot seat and could he fit in that city? Could he fit in that organization? It's a good question. And we'll be asking it all throughout the whole NFL season.
I was wondering if you'd maybe mention the Bears.
Yes. Yeah, I see that. I could see that, especially with the amount of attention and money and everything that has been put into that team. If Eberflus can't do it, yeah.
And, right? I mean, he had Tom Brady, and now maybe you could see the same thing with Caleb Williams and say, I could do that with this kid.
I think almost everything's on the table for that team right now because it has to be and because that organization is finally – you've got the McCaskies doing the one thing that we've asked them to do forever. You can open up your checkbook. Everything else, shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up. You're not a Hallis. You never were. Quit acting like it. George McCaskey seems like a fine human being. He spends most of his time in his downtime, for those that don't know. McCaskey, the owner of the Bears, essentially, spends his time umpiring kids' baseball and stuff in high school and everything. He's a big fan of that. He got to do it once, and he just loves it, and he likes doing that. He likes adding to the game. He likes helping the game in these things. And that he doesn't seem like a horrible person. Just seems horrible at picking people to run your team. I'm not saying that they got that figured out, but they have the right people, I think, in place to closer than we've ever been in my lifetime. I'm going back to the 80 Bears that they love to talk about and everything. I think that they've got some really smart people in there that have made some mistakes but have also made some right moves.
Kind of reminds me of the Packers, you know, when they hired Ron Wolf. He said he talked to Bob Harlan, and he said he promised me that he was going to give me full reins for the team, and he was not going to interfere, and he said he was a man of his word. Mm-hmm. Never once did he interfere in football operations.
And that's the kind of thing you need. That's the kind of leadership you need.
That's why they built, right?
You hire these people, let them do their job.
Yep.
You know, get out of their way and let them do their job. I am not saying any of this like to the the NFC North fan bases, Detroit, Minnesota, and certainly Green Bay. I don't think that you have to be afraid, obviously. I'm not saying you have to be afraid of the Bears. But I will say this. The first thing I learned in boxing, never turn your back on your opponent. And I would not turn my back on this team. Just because you don't want to be the team losing to this team right now. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I'm not going to be able to predict Caleb Williams. But you have something very dangerous happening with that team that I would say almost 20 years. Even going back to Devin Hester, you know, returning a kick in the opening of the Super Bowl and everything. I'll even go past that. You have something with this fan base I haven't seen in over 20 years. Hope. And that is dangerous. You can do a lot with hope. You can win some games with hope. I don't know if you can win a championship with it, but you can win some games. You can upset some people, and that leads to championships. That leads to winning.
And that's because most of the time the Bear fans are hoping they don't trade Caleb Williams for Mitch Trubisky.
Right. Yeah. Or sticking. I don't care how their careers go. I wish Justin Fields all the best.
Yes.
I wanted them to do this so badly. And I even if it blows up in our faces, you still had to do this. I will still say that.
And they're talking about moving him around and maybe returning some kickoffs because they got that new kickoff rule now. Mm-hmm. So maybe Justin Fields will find a new spot. And
I hope he does.
I do too.
Yeah, I wish him well. We will get to our final break. We'll come back, take some calls, talk some sports. It's Playmakers brought to you by Quality Plus Printing here at WFHR.
It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June is Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ plus communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
If you dig into the history of the LGBTQ plus movement in our state, you may be surprised by what you find. The first public call to get rid of restrictions against gay people was discussed by Wisconsin officials in 1966, not long after voters elect several openly gay leaders for the first time. But a 1982 law stands out as Wisconsin becomes the first state to prohibit discrimination in employment, housing, and public accommodations on the basis of sexual orientation. An extraordinary history of Wisconsin pride. I'm Terry Barr.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it. The moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James Help Seth Pick the Next Theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up.
That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the ninth inning. Bases loaded and up to bat. Can you hear that crowd? Hear we? What just happened? Everything is dark. The lights are back on. Look at that.
Yes, the team invested in Generac generators from Econ Electric, so no one will miss a moment. Econ Electric is your neighborhood big league pro in Generac generators. Call Econ Electric at 715-423-8440 today.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and a low in the mid-40s for tonight. Mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms for tomorrow and a high in the low 70s. Mid-80s Wednesday, more storms possible, especially in the afternoon and evening when some of the storms could be strong. It's 71 right now.
Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. Just a couple of minutes left in the third period here as we're wrapping up and talk a little hockey with Randy before we get out of here. But the way this series is going, the Stanley Cup Finals might be... Oh, no, wait a minute. No, it won't be because they're dragging this thing out, just like the finals they're dragging out. There's one quick note, last note on the NBA and the finals there. If there is a sweep, but I think even if the Dallas wins one game, Boston will go in this whole series without wearing their green uniforms.
Oh, my goodness.
Enough is enough. If Boston is going to win a championship and they're not even going to do it in green, that's crazy to me. It's just crazy to me. Enough with the jerseys, as I say in a Sandy Koufax jersey. Like, please, please, enough with the jerseys. Looking at the NHL finals, of course, the Stanley Cup finals, the hardest to win championship of them all. If you've been paying attention, Florida pretty well handled Connor McDavid and Edmonton in that first game. It's going to be interesting to see where that develops, how that goes. It could be a long series. I don't think it will be, though. Florida's defense is just that good. And they have players that are willing to stay on the ice an extra 2-3 minutes if Connor's out there. That is really impressive to me. You don't get to see that all the time. Sometimes it's not so much a guy wants to stay out there. It's just that he doesn't have the endurance to. These guys, the endurance that they have. While we're seeing some of the guys in the NBA like dragging, even in the last round with Anthony Edwards and everything, these thoroughbreds that are on skates are somehow still finding something in them to keep on going on and everything with all the injuries they're playing with and all that. I would not be surprised if this is a 4-1 series and favoring Florida.
Well, Saturday's game was basically 2-0 until they got that empty netter at the end. But that goalie, Bobrovsky, is it something like that?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That hot goalie.
Fantastic saves. And this could be over by Saturday. They got what, game today and then Thursday and Saturday. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if they sweep it, it would be done by the weekend already.
I've got friends in the Florida area, so I don't really have – and I also have people that I care about from Canada, up in Canada, caring very much about this. So I didn't really have anybody in this race that I was rooting for. I just wanted a good series. If we're not going to get a good series, then let's get it over with and let's crown a championship as far as I'm concerned. And in this Florida team, they've earned this. Not only were they there last year, but that fan base for, you know, almost as the Florida has almost been around as long as it's been since Canada has won a cup. And I have to say, and I know this is not the same thing, but I've gotten a good debate with a number of Canadians about this. And by that, I mean three.
That's a number.
You know, nobody wins a championship without a Canadian. I mean, go ahead and try to find a team that has won the Stanley Cup without one of their best players being Canadian.
Or somebody from Russia.
Yeah. I mean, it's not – if you're Canada and you have this, oh, it's me, that we haven't won a cup in 30-some years, I would at least take some pleasure in the idea that, well, you can't win it without us either. I mean, there's no team, including this Florida team, that has a number of Canadians on it, on the first and second line and all that. I feel like there's a little bit – look, I'm not saying it's the same thing. there's only one Stanley Cup, and there's only one thing about winning that and everything. Anybody who has even gotten closer to it knows more of it than I do. But I would take some, especially if you're taking ribbing from Florida fans right now. I'd throw that right back at them. I would, at least. Well, give me all the good Canadians. You can have all the good Americans. We get all the good Canadians. Well, we'll see how that goes in the Winter Olympics. I mean, you know.
And, you know, speaking about people from all around the country, that's what makes you think of, like, the Rafters, too, mm-hmm. right? And the Rafters ended up winning, what, two of the three this weekend? They lost on Friday, but won on Saturday and Sunday. And tonight, they're at La Crosse.
Yeah.
Tuesday, they're at Green Bay. And then Wednesday, back home against Green Bay. So the Rafters, you know, they continue to draw nice crowds. And the weather's getting to be more summer-like. And looking forward to getting over to some of those games, too.
It's already been a fun season with a lot of exciting plays that we haven't even really gotten going yet. We're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to Rafter baseball every night this week. That is pretty cool. Stay hydrated, boys. You know, and keep stretching. As Randy mentioned, we're in La Crosse tonight to wrap up that series, hoping to get a win like yesterday. Tuesday, going to be at Green Bay, 6:20 start time for the next two nights, Tuesday and Wednesday, 6:20 start times at Green Bay on Tuesday, home on Wednesday. And, of course, on Thursday, going to be in Madison, take them on, 5:50 start time there. And staying in Madison for Friday's game as well, a later start, 6:20 on that one.
That's always fun having Tyler in to talk to us about all the kind of behind-the-scenes types of things, yeah. like we learned about Mr. McGuire last week.
Looking forward to also talking with Andy and their new announcer and getting him on the airwaves here with us. That's going to be fun. Keep in mind this Wednesday's game at Witterfield, Anytime Fitness water bottle giveaway. That's pretty cool.
Ooh,
go ahead and check that out. And a lot of other great promotions and tickets available for you at NorthwoodsLeague.com. NorthwoodsLeague.com. Go ahead and get those tickets. Let's show them what home field advantage is. Fill that Witterfield ballpark every chance we get. If you can't, though, keep in mind every hit, every pitch, every win of Rafter Baseball right here at WFHR, where it belongs. Randy, great show. Thanks so much for all your coverage.
Always fun to be here.
Thanks to the best listeners in radio for joining us. You guys have a great week. We'll talk to